All right, so welcome to another deep dive. And today, you know, something I think we've all been kind of thinking about at least a little bit is like how church is changing. Mm-hmm. You know, are those Sunday services like the only way to do church these days?
Yeah.
So today we're going to explore these things called missional communities, basically groups of Christians just living out their faith, you know, in everyday life.
Yeah, and it's interesting. For this one, we're actually going way back in time.
Way back, yeah.
We got these excerpts from this dissertation on, like, the history of these missional communities.
Oh, wow.
And tracing them, like, all the way back to the early church, which is...
It's amazing.
Kind of wild to think about.
Yeah, I mean, how far back does this really go?
That's what's so fascinating, right? Like, the roots run super deep. This dissertation uses this Latin phrase, ecclesiole in ecclesia.
Okay, now break that down for me. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it means little churches within the church.
Little churches within the church.
Okay, two. Which is a cool way of, like, highlighting how throughout history, these, like, small dedicated groups have actually been, like, a driving force for, like, renewal and growth within Christianity.
Mm, little churches within the church.
Mm-hmm.
So are we talking, like... mini congregations, like meeting in secret or something?
Not necessarily secret, but I think you're getting in at the core idea. Like, think about, like, those early monastic communities.
Okay.
Or the groups that sprung up during, like, the Celtic and Wesleyan revivals.
Right.
They weren't separate from the larger church.
Right.
But they had this distinct focus on, like, really intense discipleship, community, and mission.
Yeah.
You know, these little churches, they were often on the front lines, spreading the gospel and really living out their faith in kind of radical ways.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, thinking about, like, the history of revivals and stuff.
Totally.
But it's interesting because this dissertation also talks about how, you know, those movements, they faced a lot of pushback. Right. There was this, like, constant tension between, like, wanting to keep things, like, structured.
Totally.
And then this organic energy that kept, like, bubbling up. It's almost like you couldn't contain it.
Exactly. And it's a pattern that you see over and over again in church history, right? These movements, they emerge, they bring fresh life and energy.
Yeah.
But they also, like, they challenge the status quo, you know? And the established church often struggled with, like, how to incorporate this new kind of dynamic expression of faith.
So how does all this historical stuff, like, how does it connect to what we're seeing today with missional communities? Are we just seeing, like, a repeat of this pattern playing out again?
I think in some ways, yeah, definitely. The dissertation argues that we're living in this post-Christendom world.
Post-Christendom.
Basically, yeah, saying, like, Christianity isn't the dominant cultural force it once was. And, you know, I think we can all kind of see that. We live in a much more diverse and globalized world. And that's had a huge impact on, like, how people approach faith.
And it's not like people are just abandoning faith altogether.
Right.
But maybe they're looking for something different than what they've, you know, experience in those traditional churches.
Totally. And this dissertation actually cites some pretty, like, eye-opening stats.
Oh, really?
Like, it predicts that by 2025, less than 40% of Christians in the U.S. will consider their local church their primary source of spiritual growth.
Wow. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's a significant shift.
Yeah.
And it raises the question, right? Like, if people are finding meaning and connection elsewhere,
yeah,
how does the church respond? What does that even look like?
Yeah, and that's where these missional communities come in, right?
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
To meet people where they are.
Exactly, exactly. They're embracing this more, like, decentralized organic approach, kind of like those early little churches we were talking about.
Yeah.
Not so focused on building those big impressive structures,
right?
But instead they're really emphasizing, like, flexibility, multiplication, and just reaching people in those everyday spaces, you know, where life actually happens.
Yeah, I can see how that would resonate with people today, you know.
Totally.
But thinking back to those early monastic communities, those revivals and things.
Right.
Those must have been pretty intense. Like, is that level of commitment even realistic for people today?
That's a great question. And it's actually something the dissertation kind of explores further, right? Like,
yeah.
While there are these parallels to those historical movements, missional communities are, you know, adapting those principles to a modern context. It's
yeah.
not about, like, everyone becoming a monk or living in isolation. It's
right.
about finding those practical ways to integrate faith into just the rhythms of everyday life, you know?
Okay, so it's like taking those ancient principles, but actually applying them in a way that that works for people today.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I think I'm starting to see how this all fits together, right? We've got this long history of these like dynamic, mission-focused groups, you know, popping up within the church.
Mm-hmm.
And now in our rapidly changing world, those same principles are being like reimagined in the form of these missional communities.
Yeah.
It's like we're seeing this ancient pattern of renewal playing out right before our eyes.
Totally. And that raises like a really important question for me.
What's that?
If these communities are part of a larger like historical pattern,
mm-hmm.
what can we learn from the past, like to ensure their success, but also maybe avoid some potential pitfalls?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't just assume because something worked way back when that it'll, you know, automatically work today.
Right.
There must be some lessons we can learn from how those early movements, like how they navigated that tension between staying true to their core values,
yeah,
but also like adapting to the changing times.
Totally. And the dissertation actually highlights a few specific challenges that these communities face, even with their best intentions. Like, for example, they can sometimes become too insular, you know,
okay,
focused, like too much inward instead of outward.
So kind of losing sight of the mission a little bit.
Yeah. And that can obviously limit their impact, right?
Why? Yeah,
like it's all about finding that balance between like, you know, fostering that strong sense of community and belonging within the group, but also remaining open and engaged with the wider world.
So like being in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
So I'm definitely curious to hear more about these challenges, but I'm also thinking like we talk a lot about theory and history.
Yeah.
But before we dive into all that, I think it'd be helpful to just get a clearer picture of what these communities, like what they actually look like in practice, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move beyond the theoretical here.
Yeah.
and explore some tangible examples.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So to really like grasp what these missional communities look like in action, we got to kind of understand one of the key concepts this dissertation keeps bringing up. It's this idea of like rewilding the church.
Okay, rewilding. That sounds like something you do in the national park, not a church.
Yeah, right.
What does that even mean?
It's actually a pretty powerful metaphor when you think about it. Like, think about what happens when you rewild a landscape, right?
Right.
You're not trying to control every little detail.
Yeah.
You're creating conditions where nature can like thrive organically.
Right.
So in the same way, rewilding the church is about like moving away from this idea that we have to manage every aspect of faith, you know? And instead, we're creating spaces where it can kind of flourish in a more like natural, spontaneous way.
So instead of like perfectly manicured lawns, you're letting the wildflowers like bloom wherever they sprout up.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is where like the connection to missional communities becomes really clear. They're all about empowering like everyday Christians to live out their faith in those everyday spaces in a way that's relevant to their context and their community. It's not about like waiting for someone to give you permission or like assigning you a specific role.
Yep.
It's about recognizing that like every Christian like has a part to play in the mission of the church. You know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I'm still a little fuzzy on the practicalities.
Yeah.
Like, how does this actually work in real life? Like, what are some concrete examples?
Sure, yeah. So, okay. Like, think about a group of friends, right? And they're passionate about caring for the homeless in their city.
Yeah.
They might start by, like, just volunteering at a local shelter together. But then they decide, like, hey, let's take this a little further.
Yeah.
They start, like, meeting regularly, maybe for, like, meals, sharing their experiences and praying for the people they encounter.
Okay.
And eventually they even start inviting like some of the homeless folks they've befriended to join these gatherings.
So it's not about starting some big formal program. It's more like organic than that.
Right, exactly.
It grows out of the relationships and the needs they encounter in their own community.
Exactly. And as they continue to meet and just live out their faith together, they start to like attract others who share that passion, right?
Correct.
The group like naturally multiplies, maybe even branching out to address other needs in the community.
Okay.
The focus is less on like controlling the outcome,
mm-hmm.
and more on just like creating the conditions where faith can really take root and flourish.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm getting the picture, but I guess I still have this feeling like there's something a little intense about this whole missional community thing, you know?
Yeah, sure.
The dissertation talks about this, like importance of personal devotion and holiness.
Yeah.
Doesn't that risk like creating this divide, like between the super Christians who are like all in,
right,
and then everyone else who's, you know, just trying to live their lives?
That's a really valid concern, and it's something that the dissertation actually like addresses directly. It's not about like creating a two-tier system or setting up these like unrealistic expectations for people. Remember, like, the core idea behind missional communities is that every Christian is called to ministry and service.
Mm-hmm.
Like using their unique gifts and passions.
Yeah. So it's less about like everyone reaching some specific level of holiness, mm-hmm, and more about just recognizing that we all have a part to play no matter where we are, you know, in our faith journey.
Exactly. It's about encouraging each other to grow in our relationship with God and then allowing that transformation to kind of flow outwards into the world. Think of it like this. You can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Right.
Personal devotion, prayer, spiritual practices, those are essential. Like, sure. Fill in that cup so that we have something to offer others.
I like that. So like that inward transformation, it fuels the outward mission.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm still kind of curious about how these communities like actually engage with the world around them. I mean,
yeah,
we live in a society that can often feel like pretty secular,
yeah,
and different to faith.
Right.
How do they make their message like relevant,
yeah,
in that kind of environment?
Yeah, that's where things get like really interesting. The dissertation talks about this concept called the imminent frame.
Imminent frame.
Yeah, it's kind of a fancy way of saying that in our modern world, people tend to view everything through this lens of like what's immediately observable and measurable.
Right.
There's not a lot of room for the transcendent or the spiritual.
So it's like we're living in this bubble where faith is kind of pushed to the margins. It's all about what we can, you know, see and touch, and the things that can't be like easily explained or are just dismissed.
Exactly. But here's the thing about missional communities. By living out their faith in those everyday spaces in a way that's authentic and relational,
mm-hmm,
they start to like poke holes in that imminent frame, you know?
So they're demonstrating that faith isn't just this like abstract concept.
Yeah.
It's something that's lived out in the messy reality of everyday life.
Right. It's about showing, not just telling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But how do they avoid like coming across as preachy or judgmental? Like how do they share their faith,
yeah,
without alienating people who might, you know, have different beliefs?
Well, remember what we were saying earlier about rewilding?
Yeah.
It's not about like imposing their views on others or trying to control the outcome, right? It's about planting seeds, demonstrating love and compassion.
Yeah.
And just trusting that God will work in his own way.
So it's less about like converting people and more about like transforming society from the inside out.
Exactly. The dissertation calls these groups creative minorities, you know? It's this idea that even small groups, if they're committed and they're living out their faith authentically,
yeah,
they can have this ripple effect that actually influences culture and changes the way people see the world.
So they're like a catalyst for change, showing a better way of being in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where those like individual acts of service, love, and compassion, like those really come into play. It's about like meeting people where they are, building genuine relationships, and just demonstrating the love of Christ in tangible ways.
That makes a lot of sense. But it also seems incredibly challenging, you know, like how do you sustain that kind of commitment over time? Like don't people get burned out or discouraged?
That's a valid point. And it's where the dissertation highlights another really interesting concept that a lot of these missional communities embrace.
Okay.
And that's the idea of adopting a rule of life.
A rule of life.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of intimidating, like something out of a monastery.
Right.
What does that even entail?
It's not as strict as it might sound. Think of it more as like a framework for spiritual growth. You know, for integrating faith into the everyday, it might include things like daily prayer, Bible reading, regular acts of service, or just intentional time spent in community with other believers.
Okay, so it's about create these like rhythms and habits that help you stay grounded and connected to your faith.
Yeah.
Even even when life gets crazy, which it always does.
Exactly. And it's not about like adding a bunch of rules and restrictions. It's more about creating like space for what truly matters, for aligning your actions with your values.
Yeah. But I mean, we live in this world of like instant gratification.
Right.
Where everything is about getting what we want when we want it.
Yeah.
I mean, the dissertation even talks about how consumer culture has like seeped into the church. Right. How does this idea of a rule of life even fit into that kind of mindset?
That's a great question. And it brings up a really crucial point. Like the consumerist mindset is all about what can I get out of this? What are the benefits of being a Christian?
Right.
But the rule of life is about something different. It's about surrendering yourself to something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
To a mission that's about serving others and building God's kingdom, you know?
So it's about like shifting from a what's in it for me attitude to a how can I serve mentality.
Exactly. And that's a radical shift, especially in today's world. But it's at the heart of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, right? It's about embracing a life of sacrifice, generosity, and love.
That's a powerful thought. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if missional communities are really about reclaiming that kind of radical discipleship, what does that mean for the future of the church?
That's a big question and one that's still like unfolding, right? But perhaps by revisiting those ancient patterns of renewal and adapting them to our modern context, these missional communities, they're pointing us towards a way forward, a way to make faith relevant and vibrant once again.
So it's kind of like we were saying, this whole shift from consumer-driven faith to like a life of radical discipleship.
Exactly. And that's really what missional communities are trying to embody, right? It's not just about showing up for an hour on Sunday and checking the faith box for the week. It's about integrating your beliefs into like every aspect of your life, your relationships, your work, your community.
Yeah, so living out your faith in a way that actually like makes a difference in the world.
Exactly. And the dissertation points out that missional communities often adopt this rule of life to kind of help guide that process.
Yeah, we touched on this earlier, but I'd love to unpack that a little bit more. Like, what does a rule of life actually look like for someone, you know, in a missional community? Are we talking about like vows of silence or something?
Not quite. No, not quite that intense. It's not about imposing a bunch of like strict rules. Instead, it's about creating like a framework for spiritual growth.
Yeah.
For intentionally weaving your faith into the fabric of your everyday life.
Okay, so less about like restrictions and more about like creating these healthy rhythms and practices.
Exactly.
What kind of like things might be included in a rule of life?
Well, it really varies, you know, depending on the community and the individual. But it often includes things like committing to daily prayer or scripture reading, setting aside time for solitude and reflection, engaging in regular acts of service, or just prioritizing those meaningful conversations with fellow believers.
Yeah, I can see how that would be so helpful, especially in our world today, you know, this hyper-connected world where it's just so easy to get like swept up in the busyness of life.
Right.
And lose sight of what truly matters. It's like creating this countercultural space where you can just like intentionally reconnect with your values and your purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. And the dissertation highlights how this intentional way of living, this commitment to aligning your actions with your beliefs, it can actually have this ripple effect that extends far beyond like just the individual.
Because I mean, when you're living out your faith authentically, it can't help but like influence those around you, right? It's like you become this living example of what it means to follow Christ.
Exactly.
Right.
Precisely. And that leads to another kind of fascinating point that the dissertation makes. It argues that the rise of missional communities might actually be a positive development for traditional churches as well.
Oh, really? I would have thought they might be seen as kind of a threat. You know?
Right.
Like they're drawing people away from those established institutions. How could they actually be beneficial?
Well, think of it like cross-pollination, right? Missional communities with their emphasis on innovation, flexibility, and just that grassroots engagement, they can actually bring like fresh ideas and approaches back into those those established congregations,
right.
You know, they can help revitalize those traditional forms of church, right. by reminding them of their core mission, you know, to reach out to the world and make disciples.
So it's not about like replacing the traditional church,
right.
but rather enriching it and expanding its reach.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like they're working together to create this more vibrant and diverse expression of faith.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the ideal anyway. It's not always easy, obviously. There can be tensions and disagreements, but when both sides are willing to listen and learn from each other,
yeah.
It can lead to this beautiful synergy where everyone benefits.
That's a really encouraging thought. It's like we've come full circle in this conversation, right?
Wow.
We started by exploring the historical roots of missional communities, those little churches within the church.
Mm.
And now we're seeing how they might like play a role in shaping the future of faith, you know, mm. both within and beyond those traditional church structures.
And what's really fascinating to me is that it echoes those early movements in church history, just like those small dedicated groups that sparked revivals and changed the course of Christianity.
Mm.
Missional communities have the potential to do the same today.
It's a pretty inspiring thought, actually. It makes me wonder, like, what role might each of us play in this mm-hmm. in this evolving story of faith?
That's a powerful question to ponder. If churches are going to flourish in this post-Christendom world, they're going to need to find ways to balance the strengths of their traditions with the dynamism of these missional communities. And who knows, you know, you might find yourself drawn into this movement, mm-hmm. discovering new ways to live out your faith and make a difference in the world.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked some new ideas and inspired you to explore how you can be a part of this exciting chapter in the story of faith.